Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
In the name of the crucified, risen, and ascended Jesus Christ. Amen. I love the Gospels. I love their accounts of the resurrection. Differing accounts, although told, at least Matthew, Mark, and Luke, through the same vision, synoptic, seen together is what that means. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are the synoptic Gospels. And then John, of course, stands distinct from the others because John was written, 40 years or so after Matthew, Mark, and Luke had completed their Gospels. So he added his own perspective on things. But you would think that the resurrection of Christ, as reported in the Gospels, would be described as an earth-shaking event. And indeed, there was an earthquake when the angel came and rolled away the stone from the tomb. But the accounts of the resurrection begin slowly, gradually. There is doubt, there is unbelief, and there is even a form of mockery, because we are told in today's gospel that when the women came from the tomb and reported to the apostles what the angels had told them, that Jesus was not there in the tomb, that he had risen, the apostles scoffed at them because they seemed to be speaking nonsense, an idle tale. They did not believe them. And so it continues on. The evening of the resurrection, Jesus finally appears in the upper room to the apostles, all except Thomas, who wasn't present. And at first they doubted, but then they came to believe when he showed them the wound in his side, the wounds in his hands and feet. When Thomas heard about it, he said, "I will not believe it unless I see it with my own eyes." And then John says at the conclusion of his gospel, well, Jesus says to Thomas, when later Thomas does witness a risen Christ, "You believe because you have seen. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And John, in the first conclusion of his gospel, said, "These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." It could be fleshed out, that sentence of John's. "These things are written to you who have not seen, yet have believed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." Because we have not seen, have we? We have heard with our ears, and Paul writes, "Faith comes by hearing the word of Christ, the word about Christ." And so the word of the gospel is proclaimed. The word of Christ's death for sin and his resurrection as God's guarantee that sinners are justified, that is, declared righteous by God's grace in Christ. And that is what we celebrate this day and indeed every Sunday. We gather as the redeemed people of God, those who have been bought by the blood of Jesus, not by gold or silver or anything like that, but by the holy precious blood of Jesus. We have been bought back. We have been ransomed from sin and death and hell. And we are now the Lord's possessions. We are his own people, and we live under him in his kingdom, in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. You see, because of Jesus, God does not count your sins against you. We could all file forward here, and I could unclip the microphone, and I could give each one of you a minute to confess your worst sins before the congregation. And Randy's going to begin. You don't have to do that. We aren't going to do that because Jesus has taken those sins away. He's removed them from you as far as the east is from the west. And his resurrection, again, is God's guarantee that this is so. But there is another guarantee as well. Or there are several other guarantees, more accurately. You have your baptism. You were baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost into Jesus' death and resurrection. And now you walk in newness of life. You are a new creation in Christ. God's Word tells you as well that these things are so, that your sins are forgiven and that you have new life in Christ. And most gloriously, most wonderfully, the gift of Jesus' body and blood given to us and received by us in the sacrament of the altar is another guarantee of these things. For if Christ had not been raised, how could he give us his body and blood in the bread and wine for the forgiveness of our sins? If Christ has not been raised, we are of all people most to be pitied, for we confess in our creeds, in our liturgy, in our alleluias, that God has raised Christ from the dead, and we would make God to be a liar if these things were not so. But Paul tells us that in fact Christ has been raised from the dead, and that makes all the difference. Not raised in a spiritual, plasma-y kind of way, but the body that was crucified and laid in the tomb before sundown on Friday was raised again in glory very early on the first day of the week, Sunday. And so it is with you. I notice that the older I get, I can't do as many things as I used to do. And if I try, I usually end up paying for it the next day or so. Oh, my aching back. You have experienced the same thing. I ran track in high school. I ran the hurdles. I'm not going to try that. But thanks be to God, our bodies shall be restored to a pristine quality, better than we have ever been before. And it is because that in baptism our bodies were united with Jesus' holy body. It is because that with our bodies we consume Christ's holy, precious body and blood. It is because Christ is risen that the universe is shaken and all things will be made new. Everything in heaven and on earth. Now, in just a few minutes, Mary Fox will be admitted to the sacrament of the altar. After the prayers, I'll call her forward. And then after that, her sister Anna will be confirmed. And these acts, these churchly acts, are a way into which they are incorporated. They already have been, but it's a formal way of acknowledging that they have been incorporated into the body of Christ. And they join that great group of witnesses around the world today. Witnesses to Jesus' death and resurrection. Martyrs, that's what the word witness literally means in the Greek. Martyrs. And there were martyrs. There were Christians who were martyred for the faith on this Easter day. There are Christians who will be martyred for their faith in the crucified and resurrected Christ tomorrow. And how can they do that? How can they give up their lives for the sake of, say, a man who died 2,000 years ago and that was it? No, the apostles willingly gave up their lives because they had beheld the resurrected Christ and they proclaimed the resurrected Christ. And those who heard them generation after generation, those who heard their message, when called to be martyred, likewise committed themselves into the hands of the merciful God, the God who had sent his Son into the world to save them from sin and death and hell. The last enemy to be defeated, Paul tells us in today's epistle, is death. And as far as we're concerned, death has already been defeated by Jesus' death and resurrection. It's like Nazi Germany was ultimately defeated, or at least the defeat of Nazi Germany became a sure and certain thing when the Allied forces landed on the Normandy beaches. Sure, there were about 9-10 months of fighting ahead, and death has been defeated for us. Here in the Church Militant, we still struggle, we still fight, but the victory is guaranteed for you. The victory is guaranteed by Jesus' death and by his resurrection. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen.